Glad to see Kevin here tonight. How'd the meeting go, brother? Yeah? How was Brother Thatcher? Was the church encouraging? Was it? I praise the Lord. I prayed for you. Amen. Amen. May God multiply that church over in Waterford and give them a vision for souls. Well, Kevin and his family were over there at their missions conference. So, God's good, isn't he? I'm warm. Hope you don't mind, but I'm going to try to find some windows here, amen? Some of you ladies can scream all you want, but I'm going to have to just open a few of these windows. The perfect prayer. You know, when you're a child, you learn prayers. Here in Ireland, they teach children a series of different prayers in preparation for their first Holy Communion and confirmation things. Let me teach you from the Bible the perfect prayer. You know, the Bible is our guidebook. It's all you really need to learn about how to pray. And obviously our greatest example is going to be Jesus. And we need to go to Matthew chapter 26 in verse 39. Matthew chapter 26 in verse 39. And by the way, we're going to be praying for some impossible prayer lists. Let me share with you. I on purpose didn't go looking at them. But the first one that was on the top was by a little girl that was here this morning, and she writes this. She says, my first impossible prayer list was, help me to know Jesus. Man, there's nobody that can pray better than a kid. Amen? Help me know Jesus. The second one, help Cork win. You know what? I put down today, it was answered. Amen? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Amen? Ah, I tell you, third one was help pastor preach. I'm telling you. Does that's a blessing. It was Ori. That is sweet. We're going to take time at the end of the service tonight, and we're going to break up into small groups. We're going to pray for these like we did yesterday at the men's prayer breakfast. But if you haven't filled one out, you will be filling one out at the end of the meeting, so I hope you can stay around. The service hopefully won't go longer than normal, but if it does, I'm kind of waiting for these guys to get back. Dan, I may ask you to text when I'm winding it up to text John or phone the church office. Step out and tell them, come on back, because I would like the teens also to be a part of this, okay, to pray at the end of tonight's message. Matthew chapter 26 in verse 39. Again, this whole month we're learning on prayer. You've already heard some tremendous messages by Brother Kevin and Brother Dan. So we want to build on these truths. I was studying and I learned, I didn't know this, but Jesus, it is recorded that he prayed 15 times, 15 different times in the Gospels he prayed. First time you have him praying is when he was getting baptized. It says, and he prayed. And I have always overlooked that. You know, I'm looking at the Holy Spirit descending. I'm listening to God say, beloved, this is my beloved son. You know, but it says right in the middle of it, he was praying. He was taking this thing seriously. He wasn't trying to get any glory. This was John the Baptist pointing out, behold the Lamb of God. John the Baptist saying, this is the Messiah. And Jesus, they're praying. That's amazing. 15 times it's recorded. And I know he prayed more than that. But it records him praying. And this one is, I believe, the example of the perfect prayer. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, the Bible says this. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That's a prayer. You want a prayer? That's a prayer. It's not a lot of words, but a whole lot of meaning. This one little phrase is enough to spend a month of Sunday studying about how to pray. This is not a once-off prayer that just, you see Jesus saying, not my will, but thy will be done. This is not unusual in the Bible. There are several times, and I'm going to list just five of them real quick, where somebody says, God, this is what I want, but I'll wait for you. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel 15 and verse 25. 2 Samuel, you can leave Matthew for a moment. 2 Samuel 25. Stay with me now. We've got a few scriptures to look at before we sort of focus in. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 25, 26. As is our custom, I'll have somebody read loud, please. Oh, let's see. My arch enemy, Brother Jim here, will start us off. Jim Foley. 2 Samuel 15, verse 25 and 26. Real loud, please, brother. He's not my arch enemy. 15, 25 and 26, please. This is David. Go ahead.
And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me Moses and his habitation. But if he does say, I know the light of thee, behold, here I am, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him.
Wow. David has just been kicked out of Jerusalem. His own son has taken over in revenge against a past wrong, and David is fleeing, and Zadok the priest is carrying the ark out with him, and David says, send it back. Leave it in the temple. Don't bring it out. Leave it in the tabernacle. Don't bring it out. If God wants to bring me back, that's his business. If he doesn't want me back, so be it. I'll leave it with God. Not my will, but thine be done. David wanted to be back in his home. He didn't want what was going on happening, but he left the outcome to God. Let's look at another one. Judges chapter 10 and verse 15, Bill. Judges 10 and verse 15. Go back a few more books to the left. Judges 10 and 15.
The children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only and we pray thee this day.
All right, now, here you've got, in the book of Judges, you have, in verse 15, it says, the children of Israel are talking to the Lord and said, we have sinned. That's a good thing to actually admit, amen? We have sinned. And instead of them saying, don't let us experience trouble, they all with one accord say, do unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. God, you do what you think is right. That's a way to pray. Deliver us only, we pray thee this day. But they left it to God. Job chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21, Brother Dennis. Job, just before Psalms, Job chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21. Now, when he says the Lord has taken away, what had God taken away from Job, Brother Dennis? His lands? All of his possessions. He ultimately takes away his health, but also his children, his cattle. Everything has been... And listen how he says it. It's up to God. Blessed be the name. He's not blaming God. He's not mad at God. He's saying, God is God. Amen? You see how he's praying? Let's look at another one. I'll just skip that one. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 6. Jonah to the right in the minor prophets just before Matthew. Jonah. Jonah chapter 3 verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. If Miss Pat would read that. You go to Matthew and then turn left. And then just keep flipping pages and you'll find the little book of Jonah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. They're all in sequence. If you hit Daniel, you went too far. If you're in Genesis, you're way too far. Jonah chapter 3, verse 6. You find it? I'm sorry to ask. I love getting people to find places in the Bible. Chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. Few verses, but it's very powerful. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold. Do you remember what the word was? What was the word that that Nineveh's king heard? Yet 40 days and Nineveh's going to be wiped off the map. Remember that? Okay, so he's heard the word and he takes off his robe and he puts on sackcloth. Go ahead. He doesn't tell God what to do. He says, let's see what God is going to do. And the next verse, and God saw their works that they turned, repented from their evil way, and God turned away from his evil, repented from his evil. So that, I want you to see, you know, there is an attitude in prayer that we need to get that Jesus is going to teach us. And it is a prayer that says, not my will, but thine be done. And you'll find it throughout Scripture, even by an unsaved Ninevite, filthy, wicked king praying and saying, let's let God decide this thing. We do what we're supposed to do and then let God decide. And God said, that's good. I won't judge him. This kind of prayer, however, is so rarely prayed. Why? Because we really want our own way. I want my own way. I have to admit, would you agree that God's way is scary? When God asks you to do something, it's like, so it's hard just to automatically do whatever God says. God is definitely unpredictable. He's like, what is it? Oh, I know God's going to call me to be a missionary. That's what we think. Oh, God's going to ask me to do something like this or something like that. And we're scared. But let me tell you, God is definitely always right. He never fails. So this kind of prayer that says, not my will, but thy will be done, is rarely prayed. But Jesus in this passage of Scripture, in the entire, we're going to look at the whole verse, shows us how to pray the perfect prayer. Let's start off. Let's look at verse 36 to 39 in Matthew. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Matthew 26 in verse 36 down to 39. Get the background. Prayed saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, there are some things, ingredients to the perfect prayer. The first one is approach to God. Talk to God. Draw nigh unto God, and what's the rest of the verse say? He will draw nigh unto you. Talk to God. Jesus spoke to his heavenly Father. Didn't take it for granted. How many times do we go days without praying and we just sort of take God for granted? We actually forget that God is there. It's usually when everything's going fine, we don't even think of God. And when things go fall apart, we go, where is he? He never left. He never stopped being with you. You just got oblivious to him. You never kept it in your mind that he is there. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. Let's go there. Proverbs, hold your place here in Matthew 26. In Proverbs 15, verse 8, he loves when we pray. Proverbs 15, verse 8, let's see. Brother Leo will read for us. Proverbs 15 and verse 8, in the middle of the Bible. Leo's favorite book. I used to be. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. Prayer of the upright, of the godly, of the Christian, is his delight. It's not your works that impress him. It's not your words. It's not your way that you carry yourself. You know what impresses God? What delights God? Your prayer. He loves to hear us pray. He loves it when we come to him. It never wearies him. We need to learn let me just step back here for a second. We need to learn that you can talk to God. I know everybody in this room says, I know how to pray. But do you pray? Do you talk to God? Psalm 73, David cries out and he says, whom have I in heaven but thee? David never wasted one second talking to anybody else in heaven except God. It's the only one he ever talked to. Did you know you can talk to him? You can use simple words. You can use fumbling words as long as they are serious words. Talk to God. Out of great anguish and sorrow come great prayers. Not from books. You may read a book on prayer, but let me tell you, until you are in the valley of despair, until you are in great sorrow, you will never know how really to pray. Great prayers come from great dark valleys. We sort of figure, I'll learn to pray when everything's going good. I'll learn to pray when I can tell God what to do and he does it. Let me tell you, you never learn to pray until you have to. You'll look in, and I love reading books on prayer. I have several books by E.M. Bounds on the power of prevailing prayer and all kinds of things. But folks, out of your anguish will come the greatest prayers ever. You're in a tough situation. The car is going off the road. Two words will say a lot. Oh God! Oh God! Oh God! That's praying. Amen. You don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit's interpreting right then. Amen. Carrying that thing up there, fixing you for a while. Amen. Getting you through that trouble. You learn to pray when you're going through that accident and that trial. There is a school in the valley of our trials. There is a college in our brokenness and our sorrow. That is the only place you can learn to pray. So talk to God. Jesus had just finished his last supper with his disciples. He now is in the darkness of the Garden of Gethsemane. It's late at night. There is no moonlight. There are no street lights. There are no candle lights. There are no torches. There is Jesus taking his disciples into darkness. And he says to them, in the darkness, it was darkness you could feel, it says. There was a heaviness that not only came across Jesus and came upon him, but all the disciples became terrified. There's something dark about what was happening. And Jesus turned to them and they heard his voice. They couldn't see him anymore. And he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And in that midst of that time, he prays the perfect prayer. Amen. Are you getting me? And he prays right to God. He goes right unto the Father. You know, in his great stress, under great stress, in grief, he drew nigh unto the Father. He actually, in Mark, it says he cried out, Abba, Father. That's a wonderful word. Daddy. Not father. But Dada is what Abba means. He's drawing close to God. I know that when you're in trials, you're going to learn to pray. But don't wait until then before you learn to pray. Are you listening? Do you know why I pray to God? Because he has the strength to carry me. Is the strength to carry us. And yet, in this room, we would all have to embarrassingly admit we usually walk alone. We usually don't need God. Isn't that awful? Wouldn't it be dumb, Jim? What kind of car have you got? It's a Toyota. But it's a pretty nice car. I'm going to brag on you for a second. I've been in it. It's nice. It needs a change. It needs an oil change. He's got a nice Toyota. What is it, an Avensis? Yeah, an Avensis. All right, nice car. Wouldn't it be rather lame, dim, if he has this nice car and you find him only walking and riding a tricycle or a bike or everywhere when he's got a nice car? And Christians, you are riding your bikes, you are walking, you are dragging around when you have a vehicle that is the most powerful vehicle to get what you need. It is prayer to Almighty God. Don't miss this thing. The perfect prayer begins with what? When you talk to God. What was Jesus first doing? Talking to God. It's very simple. Yes. Thank God. Even a child can talk to God. Amen. Second thing I want to say. Ask for what you want. Look back in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. Look what Jesus prays. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father." And look what he says. He doesn't say, "Father, oh, Father, I'm not going to pray about myself." No, he says, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Hey, it is not unspiritual to pray for things for yourself, even when you don't like what's happening. Ask what you want. He says, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Jesus is here in the garden facing three battles, three attacks on three different fronts. The first front was satanic there. In Mark 14, let's go there just for fun. Mark chapter 14, hold your place here in Matthew, next book to the right. Mark 14 and verse 32. Brother Paul, would you read 32 to 35 in Mark 14, please? Gethsemane. The hour. No. Yeah, sorry. All right. Now he's praying for that hour, particularly. He's not praying against the cross. He's not saying, "Take the cup of the cross away." We've learned that Jesus already told his disciples, "My Father has given me a cup. Shall I not drink it?" He's not saying, "I don't want to go to the cross." I'm telling you, in that garden, there was somebody attacking him that you don't want to face. Satan was all over him. He was sweating great drops of blood because there was a wrestling match going on that was demonic. Satan was attacking him. If you've ever had a satanic attack, you know what is going on. You and I, we're nothing compared to the battle that was going on in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was being fought there, and then from there, I don't know how many men, 50 men come up with Judas. They grab Jesus, they bind him, they take him, and they mock him from trial, which was a mockery there, to trial, to trial, to trial. Then before Pilate giving him over to the soldier beating him, putting a crown of thorns on his scalp, striking his head, driving those nails into those spikes and the nails into his forehead, and then dragging him up on a large post, so he hung between heaven and earth, and his feet tied to a stone, so that he was suspended and taut, was strung up, and they lashed him with a cat of nine tails, time after time after time after time. There's a battle going on. Then from there, as they took him down and they put that robe on him and stood him up in front of everybody, and Pilate said, "Behold the man," and they said, "Give us Barabbas." And then as they ripped that robe off of his raw back, that was lacerated and bleeding like hamburger. And as they took that robe off of him, and as it broke open all of those wounds again, they then took him and they laid him on a cross. And they hung him and they dropped him into that hole there up on Calvary's Hill. And there on that hill, darkness came upon. And after first Satan trying to kill him, and then man tried to kill him, and then the wrath of Almighty God was poured out on him for 3 hours. Jesus Christ is facing, he's not scared of the cross. He's facing all hell and all of man's anger and then all of God's anger. Wouldn't you ask, do I have to go through all of this? You know, it's not unspiritual to pray for yourself sometime. I'm not saying pray all the time. As a man, Jesus asks any of us would ask, and says, do I have to go through all this? You know, when you make a decision, let me say it. Jesus says this, and I love this truth. Jesus makes the statement, he says, whatever cup God gives me, I'm going to take it. You make a commitment, I'm going to read my Bible 10 chapters a day. You better believe it's going to be tested. You make a commitment, I'm going to go soul winning on Saturday. You're going to be tested. You make a commitment, I'm going to start praying every day. It's going to be tested. Jesus is being tested, and he's saying, what is going on? The perfect prayer is when you ask for what you need. Amen. See, we think a perfect prayer, I would never think of myself. Jesus did. And he prayed the perfect prayer. Amen? Are you with me now? Don't just go to sleep on me. Jesus asked what he needed. And when you don't know what to do, it is a right thing to say, God, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do. Amen? You say, well, that's selfish. No, it's human. And God wants you to be human. It is the perfect prayer when you ask for what you want. Let's go to Philippians 4:6. Hold your place here. Philippians 4:6. We'll come back to this verse again in a few minutes. But Philippians 4:6. Marlene, you want to try it? Philippians 4:6, please. So let your requests. Now maybe I have some prayer requests and I say, Marlene, would you pray for such and such? But you ought to let your requests be made known unto God too. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It is not less spiritual when you're praying for your own needs. The perfect prayer includes your needs. Amen. That ought to encourage you. Amen. That ought to encourage you. Present your request. Pray about everything, by the way. You say, what's funny, I heard one guy, he's German, he said when he was unsaved, he'd say, he'd lose his keys. And he's unsaved, and he was taught when he was a kid to pray. And so he says, why would I pray about where my keys are? What does God care about keys? He gets saved. And he realizes, you know what, God knows where those keys are. So he started to pray. When he loses keys, he started to pray. And he says, and, you know, God always showed me where them keys were. Because God knew where they were. You see, we think, the dishwasher breaks down. God knows how to fix it. Amen? Amen. 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 God will help you fix it. God will remind you of somebody who knows how to fix it and do it for free. Pray about everything. Are you with me? Brother Eric was telling me his wife lost her handbag today, right? They looked all afternoon for it, right? That thing was gone. Yes, my bag is gone. And there's Eric saying, Pastor said pray. So he prayed, and in a half second, I found it! Amen. Isn't that right? Pray. Pray about everything. Pray about the big things. Pray about the little things, man. The perfect prayer is when you ask God for what you need. Do you know, there aren't many prayers that you shouldn't pray. As a matter of fact, you should know that God doesn't mind you asking for anything. You have not, because you ask not. Jesus did just that. He asked for what he thought he needed, and it was all part of that perfect prayer. So, secondly, here we are. The perfect prayer begins when? When you talk to God. Secondly, when you ask for what you need. All right, is this really deep? Let me give you a theological definition of what prayer is. Asking for what you need. No Greek needed, no Hebrew needed. It's all plain and simple to a child. Perfect prayer. When you talk to God and you ask for what you need. Third, let's go on. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 26 in verse 39. Allow God to be God. Acts 26 verse 39. We are not commanding God. We're not demanding of God. We're not telling God what to do, manipulating His will. Matthew chapter 26 verse 39. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He's praying about himself, isn't he? Nevertheless, always put that into your prayer. It's not in enough of our praying. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Look at God is not a genie. He's not sitting in heaven like a Santa, waiting to give us whatever we want at some whim. Modern Christianity has two extreme views about praying and how God views prayer. The first view is that God's only job is to keep us happy by giving us whatever we want. Thank God that is not His job. But a lot of people think that that is His job. The second extreme view is that God is too busy or uninterested, like I just gave you that illustration. What would God care about keys? Well, you know, He knows where they are. What would God care about a wart? Well, if you can't get rid of it, I'd pray. Amen. Neither one of those views are wrong. Or neither one of them are right. They both are wrong. When we pray, the point is this. God has to be allowed to say no. Jesus is facing into three wars. Coming from three different directions all at the same time. And it was going to be hell on earth for him. For my sin. By the way, he wasn't doing it. He wasn't going through it just because it was fun. He wasn't going through it just because it was a tragedy. He was going through it because he loved me. Because he was willing to take my place and die so I could go free. Amen? But in all of that, he prays, if it be possible. And was it possible with God? Yes or no? Hello? It was possible. But he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Amen? God, you pray, dear God, please provide me a wife. This is the hard part to say now. But not as I will. Amen? Come on. Dear God, give me a better job. Here's the hard part. But if I have to stay here, I'll stay here and work in this stinking, filthy, wicked, awful, ungodly, hard, low-paid job. Amen. Amen. Allow God to be God. That is part of the perfect prayer that we forget. Why was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in the first place? Because he was doing his Father's will. When Jesus asked that the cup of torture be taken away from him, he allowed God to say, drink it anyway. God must be allowed to say no to our requests. What are you willing to allow God to tell you? What are you willing to allow God's will to be for you? Would you be willing for God to want you to be rich? Would you be willing for God to want you to be happily married? Would you be willing for God to want you to suffer? Would you be willing for God to want you to be humiliated? Would you be willing for God to want you to be misunderstood, hated, spit upon, rejected? What are you willing to allow God's will to be? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That needs to become part of our prayer. If you want to pray the perfect prayer. Yes, we should ask, seek, and knock. Amen? Yes, we can boldly come under the throne of grace and ask for anything we need. Yes, we should believe God for the impossible. But don't demand. Depend and trust in Him and lean on Jesus. Don't command. Instead, you should commit all your cares into His hands. Don't belittle. You know how we pray? Dear God, this is what I need, but I know You won't answer anyway. That's very belittling. Dear God, I know You don't care. Dear God, I know You're going to say no. That's belittling. Don't belittle God. Believe God knows what He's doing. Don't rattle off just words. Oh, I can pray. Have you ever heard somebody just pray and it drags on and on and on and on and on and on? Don't rattle off words. Reach the heart of God with your heart's deepest needs. Words won't reach His heart. Your heart will. Don't try and show off. Like the Pharisees, they stood in the marketplace. They prayed in the synagogues. They used flowery words and show-off words. Don't you dare show off. Just try only to show up at the throne of God as often as you can in humble dependence. Never, ever fight God in your prayer. Fight fear. Fight sin. Fight temptation. Fight the flesh while you're praying. Let God be in charge of your life, of your valley, of your trial, and of your heart. Don't just say, get me out of here. But if You want me here, I'll stay. Amen. That's what you pray. So, you'll know you are praying the perfect prayer when? What's the first thing? When you're talking to God. Secondly, when you're asking for what you need. Thirdly, when you're allowing God, when you're yielding to God and allowing God to say no. Hey, what do my kids do? They predict when I'm not paying attention. They know when I'm busy and when I won't listen to what they're asking so they can get a yes. Amen? Dad, can I drive the car? You know, and they'll time it or they'll ask it. Because who wants to go and ask, can I do that? They go, no. Who wants to ask? You want to make sure that when you're asking, oh, I want to make sure God says yes. If you're praying, the perfect prayer allows God to say no. Yes. The perfect prayer, we would think, is when God says yes every time. Amen? But the perfect prayer allows God to say no. Two more points and we'll be through. Verse 39 says, I'll say it again, again, and again. Verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Heavy on the thou. What is he doing? He is trusting God. What is Jesus teaching us when he, of all people, is yielding to God's will? He's trusting us that we can trust God. He's teaching us that we can trust God. That we can leave the details to him. Secondly, that we should just believe God. You know, a lot of people do. They have faith in their praying. Oh, Brother Kevin's a better prayer. Oh, Brother Bill, he knows how to pray. Amen, amen, amen. But you better not have faith in your praying. Huh? You better have faith in God. Amen. You better have the ability to just trust God. You may not have the words. You may not have the intelligence. You may not have the wherewithal to figure out even what to pray. Amen? So just pray and trust the details to God. Amen. The Holy Spirit knows how to interpret our groanings. Ugh. You don't even know what to say when you pray sometimes. You've hit the wall for the 50th time. And you're just crumbling. And you go, ugh. The Holy Spirit says, what he means is, amen, amen. Trust God when you pray. What does Jesus say? When you pray, believe. James says, if you pray and ask and you don't believe, you're like a wave back and forth. Let that man know that, understand that he shall receive nothing of the Lord. You better just confidently say, God, I believe you. I believe you're going to do something, and it's going to be awesome. Believe God. Trust him. The third thing that Jesus teaches us is that we can obey God no matter what he asks us to do. That's the hard part. I like to obey God when he says to walk on water. I like to try that. We tried it. We sank. I like to believe God when there's a trial or a trouble or a situation. Believe God is going to fix that situation right on the spot. But what if he asks us to go through a valley? What if he asks us to face into a trial? Are you willing to trust God? Will you trust God? Will you trust God enough to do as he thinks best? Son, keep going. Stay there. Stay through the cross, on the cross. Stay on the cross. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how much they mock you. I don't care how many times they say, come on down from there. Prove yourself. Stay, son. Will you trust God? So, the perfect prayer begins when you talk to God, right? What's the second thing? When you ask what you need. Thirdly, when you yield. Allow God to be in charge. You know, when we get the idea that when we boldly come in the throne. Now, God, I don't know what's going on up here. I don't know if you're kind of busy, but down there we're having some real serious troubles, and I'm telling you, let me help you out here. You need to get that person out of my life and fix this thing in my... We go in there telling him what to do, don't we? Don't we? Fourthly, believes God. Boldly comes onto the throne, says, Father, I know you're going to handle this, and I'm bringing it to you, thanking you that you're going to take it and fix it awesomely. I just believe God. One more ingredient to the perfect prayer, and you have the perfect prayer. Let me show you what it is. Look at verse 40. Look at verse 40. 26, verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me? Talk to me. How many hours? He didn't say 5 minutes. How long are our prayers? Could you not watch with me? Couldn't you stay awake with me for just 1 hour? Let me find my verse. Verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again the second time and he prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest. Pause. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Folks, notice how long Jesus prays. Now, in Mark, it actually says 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. He goes and prays. He didn't say those one words and then comes back. He's praying, and that's the sum of his praying. He goes and then prays a second hour after the disciples. He wakes them up, and then they go back to sleep, and then he prays a third hour. Why is he praying so long? Find my pager. Jesus finds no comfort with his disciples. Would you agree? They're worthless. Huh? I've been in the car traveling when we were coming to Ireland years and years and years ago when I was a young man. When I was a young man. And my wife would be in the car and we'd travel 8 hours. You know, she'd say, I'll keep you awake, sweetheart. We're driving all night coming back or whatever. It's nice having somebody there who keeps talking with you, you know, and punching you and pinching you and stuff like that. But it's worthless when they're asleep. Amen? She didn't sleep. She was terrified that I would go to sleep. But my point is that when you're dependent on your disciples to keep you encouraged and they're asleep, it's pretty worthless on you. Amen? Jesus does not find comfort with his disciples. He's not finding comfort from his mother. He's not finding comfort from any place except in the presence of his heavenly Father. Why would he pray for 3 hours? Because in those 3 hours, he was finding rest. Let me just say these things. If it had been you or I, in that time of prayer, what would we be doing? We'd be arguing with God. We'd be trying to find a way around this situation for all of us, saying, please get us out of here. Get me out of here. I don't care what your will is. I want out. But Jesus, it was his resting time. He started to pray and an hour went by. You ever had that happen? When was the last time that you started to pray and you lost all track of time? I'm dead serious. If prayer is a duty, if prayer is an effort, that, oh man, 15 minutes, this is taking forever. You're missing it. You are not praying the perfect prayer if you want to quit. The last thing you got to do if you want to pray the perfect prayer is learn to rest in that time of prayer. That when he goes and he comes back to his disciples, he wakes them up and he says, I'm going to go back and pray. Because in that time of prayer was his sustenance, was his comfort, was his rest. And it'll be yours as well. You will find rest when you spend time with God. Because the result of prayer is a heart at rest. Let's go to Philippians 4. In verse 6, you can leave Matthew now and we'll be through. Philippians 4. Dan, would you go ahead and text them or phone the church office phone? Philippians 4. In verse 6 and 7 now. Let's see. I'm going to ask, Eric, did you read yet? All right, you're going to read now. Philippians 4. Verse 6, we read that before, and then read verse 7. And watch what happens when you pray the perfect prayer. Watch it. Go ahead.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
So amazing. So, huh? If I pray and there's no peace afterwards, what can I figure out? I didn't pray the perfect prayer. Amen? Maybe you did your best. All right. But I'm going to tell you, you know you've prayed the perfect prayer. When you finished, you're at peace. Amen. Because Jesus, at the end, he says, what does he say to his disciples? Sleep on. He's not mad at them. As a matter of fact, when Judas is coming up and all of the torches and the swords and the staves and the angry men, he says, hey guys, we got company. Get up. I'm heading in. He's at peace. There's not like, we better get out of here. They're coming for me. Protect me. Amen. He's at peace. Why did Jesus go all through that? To be our example. The perfect prayer ends with such rest and such peace that ain't nobody can figure it out and never will. So the perfect prayer. Step one. What's the first ingredient of perfect prayer? Talk to God. It begins when you talk to God. You know, I guarantee you, it'll be 2 days before some of you even think and remember to pray. That's pretty sad. Begins with talk to God. You ought to talk to God all day long. All day long, man. You know, you won't argue with your wife if you're talking to God. Amen? You can tell your wife, I'm talking to God about you. You were here this morning, you'd know the joke. Begins with your talk to God, when you talk to God. Secondly, it happens when you ask what you need. That's what the Lord's model prayer was. Give us this day our daily bread. It's okay to ask for what you need. What's the third thing?
Yield.
Powerful word. Allow God to be in charge. What's the fourth one? Believe that he knows what he's doing. Just believe God. See, we think we can move mountains. No, I believe God can move mountains. And if I'm facing a mountain, I'm just going to believe God. God, you can move the mountain, and I'm looking forward to you moving it. But if you don't, so be it. Amen. Putting the power in God, not in me moving mountains. Fifthly, what was the last one I just said? Perfect prayer rests when you're finished. And really, that doesn't always happen where you just get up and there's great peace. But if you have prayed that kind of prayer, you ought to be able to get up and go, I don't care what my heart tells me, I'm going to rest. I can rest. And your heart will follow when you've done and prayed the perfect prayer. That's when you know you have prayed the perfect prayer. Conclusion. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That's how you can pray the perfect prayer. It's an example prayer. Every prayer from now on, Brother Tony, from our lips can be perfect prayers. You can be a perfect praying man. Amen. Don't settle for anything less. I wouldn't settle for less. I love perfect cups of coffee. Down in Spain, I fell in love with Spanish coffee. They're amazing. Come back to Ireland. Oh, I'm struggling. You know, when you taste something perfect, like my wife's lasagna, it's hard to settle for second best. Amen? If you now know how to pray perfect prayer, don't you dare settle for second best. Amen? Let's take time to pray.